Good morning, everyone. Welcome. We're glad you're here. This is, the Sunday school class that Clyde and Richard will be sharing about, I think, fits in beautifully with the whole theme of this Sunday, Mission Sunday for many Mennonite churches. And as we'll be sharing later, we're talking about the outreach, the expression of the love of the Lamb of God for the world, whether it is with words or with our works. And so I think it's very, very fitting that Clyde and Rich, we have your sharing this morning to tell about their work with Mennonite Disaster Service and also with opportunities that are still before us with Mennonite Disaster Service. Would you join me now in prayer, please? Lord, as your love, your honor, and your name goes forth in the world, give us the privilege, Lord, of being a part of that, whether in our words or in our works. Open our minds and our hearts to all that we shall hear and share this day. Your blessing upon Clyde and Rich as they share, and upon all of us as we pray our hearts are stirred and our minds enlightened towards all the ways that your people are showing your love. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So, Clyde.
Just to make sure I'm not preaching to the choir, how many people have ever served with MDS? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I'm curious. I grew up in a small dairy farm 30 miles north of Philadelphia and was introduced to MDS back in the late 50s, early 60s as a member of Blooming Glen Mennonite Church. Now, Blooming Glen was a church of about 400, and the event that came to our attention was the Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania floods of the late 50s, early 60s, and I can't give you the exact dates. But I can tell you that I was a teenager at that time, and I was milking cows, and I was not eligible to go to MDS because you had to be 16, and I wasn't 16 yet. But I remember my brother went, and they took several busloads of people over to Stroudsburg, probably an hour's drive away, and they helped muck out basements and clean up after the floods. That's the introduction. Go ahead, Joe. Let's turn the lights out if we can.
Those things that it was devastating because you didn't know what to do. You had to think about how was you going to get out of it and who was going to help you, if anybody was going to help you. Somewhere, people, I don't know if they got tired or they were just, I don't care anymore, whatever. And then the recession with the housing and then the recession of the jobs going away. Then the flood, of all the other things, a flood, an actual flood. But you know what was good about the flood, even though it was terrible, is bringing awareness that the disaster, the tornado, was always here. Then with my husband having a stroke right around the same time, for me, I had to try to figure out how I was going to see to him. Straighten out the basement. I lost everything in my basement. The sofa, my furnace, my hot water tank, my TV, all my grandparents' pictures, all my children's pictures. I don't have any pictures of my children. None. Now my husband is a stranger in my house. He doesn't really talk. He doesn't laugh anymore. I try to keep my head. I try to smile. I try to think positive. I got a passage on my phone every day, and it talks about keeping a positive word in your mouth and in your eyes and guard your ears. I do that every day, even with my food. Before that food come in there, we pray that we have enough food. I start praying Monday when we're applying for the food to get enough food for Wednesday. So a lot of there were people in there that lights and gas are cut off, all of that. But you see, you can't see it from the surface. Isn't that still a storm? That's a lot of the reasons why it angers me about the flood, and it enlightens my heart to have MDS here, because they get it. Yeah, the case management part, it brought a lot of things to surface for me. But it kind of make you realize, not only you wasn't the only one in that, but it's going to be okay. You don't know when it's going to be okay, but it's okay. Hi, can you hear me? This is Michelle Jackson from Osborne Recovery Flood. And we're on our way to your house. Is that okay? Miss Riley? Hi, do you want me to use the front door?
Okay, now we're going to bring MDS a little closer home, the Vernonia flood of 2008. MDS is a voluntary network of Anabaptist churches that respond in Christian love to those affected by disasters in Canada and United States. For those of you who don't know, MDS is a binational organization with outlets in Canada and in Lititz, Pennsylvania. While the main focus is on cleanup, repair, and rebuilding lives, this service touches lives and nurtures hope, faith, and wholeness. MDS programs funded by contributions aim to assist the most vulnerable community members, individuals, and families who without assistance would not have the means to recover. MDS volunteers, men and women, youth and adults, provide the skills and labor needed to respond, rebuild, and restore. MDS collaborates with other groups, including faith-based organizations, local recovery committees, and governmental and non-governmental agencies. Joe, I'm not moving. There we go. People of Vernonia are accustomed to arranging their lives around the Nehalem River, but no one had ever seen anything like the 14-foot rise that followed 11 inches of rain over the weekend. Not working, Joe. Again. He'd help, Joe. Many volunteers from far and wide went to help the Vernonia flood victims. The Christian Aid Ministries, called CAM, brought many conservative brothers and sisters to help in the initial cleanup. Many other volunteer groups came to aid those whose homes were ravaged by the flood. Joe? The call to MDS for volunteers to help came August 13, 2008. Initial information was that some 800 homes had suffered significant flood damage. The request was for volunteers who could assist in reconstruction. We needed more information about the kinds of construction needed to be done. Bob Kaufman and I flew to Vernonia on September 5th, landed at the Vernonia airstrip. Rob Wilson, volunteer coordinator for Columbia County Flood Relief Committee, met us and took us on a tour of the areas that had been damaged by the flood. He took us to the site where we would begin to hang sheetrock. Mike, Carrie, and Max bought their house in early spring 2007. Mike works for Intel in Hillsboro in microchip production. Carrie works in the commercial real estate management field. They decided to move to Vernonia after having made several wonderful visits to the area where they enjoyed the great outdoors and the small town flavor. This is their home. Mike and Carrie were not aware that their home was subject to flooding of the Nehalem River, located several thousand yards down the street. Mike went to town to pick up a few groceries on December 3rd and found the river almost to the bridge. By the time the river crested, their home had 3.5 feet of water inside. Notice the guy in the doorway. You can see the height of the water. Again, that's the height of the flood. Dick Hansen, Bob Kaufman, Tom Brenneman, and I installed sheetrock from Monday, September 5th until Wednesday evening, September 7th. We put up full walls in the bedrooms, bathrooms, hallways, and utility room. The kitchen needed ceiling and walls sheetrocked also. In the living room area, only the lower 48 inches was done. The house was about 1,500 square feet. Incidentally, they'd used Mike's barn to store sheetrock for other houses in the area. While Tom installed sheetrock, Dorothy was working at the library at Judy's school. This is Judy Gingrich. Although we worked very hard those 3 days, we enjoyed the fellowship with the Filburn family. We were able to eat together Monday and Tuesday evenings. What a great family. I received an email from Mike on Thursday after we returned home. Clyde, after I woke up yesterday, Mike works the night shift, I went to the house to see how you guys did, and it looks awesome. I really appreciate all your guys' hard work. Mike and Carrie were awaiting closure on the financial settlement from the insurance and from federal, state, and local flood relief. Mike wanted to raise his house 8 feet before finishing the sheetrock. They continued to live in one of the 20 FEMA trailers in Vernonia. Homeowners insurance only wanted to pay $50,000, which is the amount needed only to raise the house and did not include repairs. Sad outcome. The Vernonia flood of 2008 took a toll on the lives of Mike and Carrie. They were unable to get funding to elevate their house in a timely manner. The stress of the trauma resulted in their divorce and a move back to the Hillsborough area. No further work was done on their house. The house was leveled. A very sad outcome. Next video, Joe.
Thank God for all things, because I tell you, without him, we couldn't do anything. He wouldn't have brought y'all over here. So I give him the glory.
Good Lord has brought us the right people this week again. He always does. Amazing.
I have learned that when the Mennonites are showing up on the scene, number one, it means you had a disaster. And number two, it means work's going to get done. I always enjoy their spirit. I enjoy their love for their fellow man and always their willingness to try to accomplish any and every task and do it in a way that not only is professional but honors God with it.
We generally work with those that have disabilities or they have no insurance, no resources at this point. Nobody to fall back on.
Building those relationships and that sense of community, it's much more than just swinging a hammer and paint some trim.
Okay, now we're going to bring it a little closer home. This will be August 2015. Kamiai, Idaho. Located 60 miles east of Lewiston, Idaho, a 9-hour drive from here, at an elevation of 1,263 feet, land area 1.1 square miles, 2013 population of 1,297. This is not a big town. Estimated 2013 median income, $106,000, compared to Idaho's $159,000. Religion by number of congregations, Protestant 16, Catholic 2, other 4. Racial composition, white 81%, Indian 8.8%, 5.5% Hispanic. And this is on the edge of the Indian reservation up there in Kamiai. This is the Clearwater River, and it's in the valley. This is the town of Kamiai. Notice the hills on all sides. These are the hills that were affected by the Clearwater Complex fires. August 14, 2015, the Clearwater Complex fires were started by 2,500 lightning strikes, which sparked 70 fires in the surrounding hills of Kamiai, Idaho. It is estimated that the fires burned 52,000 acres, which included 5 homes and 75 outbuildings. John Eshelman, MDS Regional 4 Director from California, requested volunteer help to construct 3 homes in the Kamiai, Idaho area. Rich Krupp and I left Zion August 14th and 9 hours later arrived in Kamiai, where the temperature was a cool 102 degrees. Serving with us, 3 volunteers from Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, Canada, 1 from Seattle, Washington, 1 from California, 2 from Canby, and I forgot to add the cook, who was very important, from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The Kamiyai community had formed a long-term recovery committee made up members of the local community. One of the members of the community was Carrie Lineberry, wife of the pastor of the Life Center Church. The Life Center Church became the home base for MDS. Cletus Yoder, and you'll remember, you might have seen Cletus in that first video, came to the site to begin construction, and he had only been there since July, so it hadn't been very long. Life Center Church is a Pentecostal church about 3 miles outside of Kamiyai. Sanctuary seats about 200. LCC served as the base for MDS, allowing MDS to use their small kitchenette, small dining room, and small conference room. Female volunteers had sleeping and bathroom facilities upstairs in the church. About 100 yards from the main building was the air-conditioned room in a separate building where the men slept on cots, used a single bathroom and shower. 5 men shared this space during the week of August 14 to 19. Cletus Yoder, Galloway, Ohio, was the project director. He started construction of 2 homes July 11, 2016. So understand, this, we're talking about August 14th. So he had 2 homes framed and up by August 14th. Home number one was about 3 miles northwest of Kamiyai. Home number two about 10 miles beyond that home. Number one located at 3,100 feet elevation. During our week of service, temps were in the 90s. Fortunately, there was a little breeze at the second house, and temps were about 8 to 10 degrees cooler. MDS provided this particular trailer, which served as Cletus' office, and the pastor and pastor's wife served this trailer, or provided this trailer. That was Cletus' headquarters for his sleeping, so he could get some rest apart from the volunteers. No cell coverage unless you had Verizon. Barbara Johnson, a retired school teacher, came from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania to cook for the group. All food items were purchased from the local market, prepared in the small kitchenette at the church where we lived. Barbara planned to cook for us the first week and then work on the job site on the second week when another cook was planning to arrive, and I don't know if she ever did that or not. Daily schedule. Barbara laid out the church marking, the lunch makings at 6:30 a.m. so that the volunteers could prepare their own lunches, which were packed in a cooler. Breakfast and devotions followed at 7, off to the job site at 8, work until 4, followed by showers. And incidentally, we all made our own lunches, packed them in plastic bags, and threw them in a cooler where there was ice. And I happened to get the boss's lunch the first day. It was. He had more things in his lunch than he had bargained for. Barbara's kitchenette. And might I point out the simplicity with which she worked. And I compare this to Zion's kitchen in the event that Zion would ever participate in an MDS local project and what we would have to offer compared to what Barbara was working with. 2 stoves, 1 sink, and nothing else. These 3 gentlemen were from Ontario, Canada. These are 2 young men. One was just beyond high school. This young man here was a high school man, and Ralph brought them from Canada. This is Carl Westfall. He's a psychologist from Seattle Mennonite. That's Cletus Yoder, and of course you all know Rich. House number one, 3 miles north of Kamiai, the roof and siding of number one had been completed by August 15th. On Monday, four of the volunteers put the second coat of mud on the sheetrock. The house is located on a lot excavated out of the hillside with a sharp drop-off. And I'm telling you, it's a sharp drop-off. You're not going to walk off the edge. You'll go down. Each of the MD houses is 2-bedroom, 1-bath, and about 1,000 square feet, funded by the Red Cross. And I would underline this. MDS does not necessarily provide the money for the materials. In this case, it came from the Red Cross. MDS was providing the volunteers, the food, and transportation. House number one. These houses are very similar to the houses being built by Habitat for Humanity in Mount Angel. You can't hardly see the drop-off here, but this drop-off is rather profound. It goes down. You'd almost have to have a ladder to get down there. Otherwise, you just get on there ground and it would just tumble. Notice how much excavating was done to provide the lot for this house to be located. I want to draw your attention to this item right here. This is an MDS trailer, and we're going to talk about that toward the end of this presentation. MDS also provided 3 vehicles, 2 pickups, and a van, and those were all on site to be used. The question is, been addressed to me more than I care to answer. Who can volunteer for MDS? And what I want to emphasize is that you don't necessarily need specific skills. What you need is the spirit of volunteering. And the only restriction that I'm aware of is that teenagers less than 16 are not able to use power equipment. But with that restriction, volunteers of all skill levels are needed. And if you don't have a skill, you will have a skill after you've served. House number two, located at 3,100 feet. A third of the siding had been done. The rest of the week, Rich, Carl, and I completed the Hardy Plank siding. The other 4 volunteers installed wall, insulation, and sheetrock. This is house number two. This is the first time I've ever used a pickup as a scaffolding to do siding on the gable end. And it worked very well, thank you. House number three, Cletus reported that a contractor was working on the foundation of the third house. Harold Miller from Portland assumed the project responsibilities. Now, I don't know if anybody knows Harold Miller, but I think he attends Portland Mennonite. And Cletus, the week that we were there, that was the last week for Cletus, and Harold was due that Saturday to come in and take over the project. One thing that John Colvin told me about house number three is there was a rush to try to get house number three inside the weather. And as a result, they petitioned MDS National to get somebody to come in and do the insulation and sheetrock so it could be done in a timely manner before the snow started. Okay, these are the needs for MDS: financial support, prayer support, volunteers. And for quite some time now, we've been posting the urgent needs list on the bulletin board out by the water fountain near the nursery. Project managers are responsible for the day-to-day management of the MDS work site. They work closely with local recovery committees, homeowners. They organize the work of local project crews and they'll train you to become, MDS will train you to become a project manager. And what I would add is that project managers are not necessarily contractors. They're not necessarily, I think Cletus happened to be an engineer. I don't believe Harold Miller has had prior construction experience other than what he learned at MDS, if I'm right. I'm not sure. Project crews are individuals, couples, families, groups, retirees, friends, others working to reach out to people in need by working hard and serving with a positive Christ-like heart. There's tons of information out there on the internet, particularly at YouTube, and these videos all came from YouTube. Now, you remember I pointed out that trailer. The Washington and Idaho affiliates have accepted the challenge to purchase and furnish an MDS trailer, which includes many of the tools, generators, compressors, ladders, electrical cords, etc., needed for construction sites. Approximate cost of each trailer is about $16,000 for a trailer and $16,000 for tools. My question to everybody here is, would Zion be willing to work with Oregon Unit to purchase and set up a trailer? These pictures were taken by Rich. Building the boxes, building the shelving. Everything has a place in these trailers, which is kind of a miracle. If you want to find something, generally you can find it if it's been put back in place. This trailer was completed by Carl Westfall at Seattle Mennonite, and I think it's a relatively recent addition to the Washington unit. What would it take? It would take a fundraiser for $32,000. A trailer would need to be purchased, and apparently they have an idea of what kind of trailer they want to purchase. And volunteers would be needed to craft the shelving and storage boxes and to buy the necessary tools. Would you be interested in supporting such a project? I have published a notice in the bulletin for the last month or so about 8 slots for construction workers in March of 2017, rebuilding 5 homes in Calaveras County, California. And we had recently made a trip to Hydro, Oklahoma, and on the way back, I had called Jeff Clark, who was the head of this Camp Lodestar, and he was expressing a great deal of frustration because he had not been able to get any commitment from MDS Central or National to reserve the lodging slots in California. So apparently they're still planning to move ahead. The accommodations at Camp Lodestar are like 10 beds to a room kind of thing, bunk beds, and a central dining area. But as far as I know, there are still some slots open if anybody wants to volunteer with this project. Next video, Joe.
We are in Mawat in Okanagan County, Washington. The fire started about 4 miles north of us, so we knew it was coming. I had a house up in the mountain, 3,000 feet altitude. The sky was dark. In the middle of the day, it was like night. The ashes fell on our eyes. We couldn't breathe. We're all scared.
Hi, my name is Carlene Anders, and I'm the executive director of the Okanagan County Long-Term Recovery Group. I'm also the mayor of Pateras. This is where we had the 2014 Carlton Complex fire, which was 256,000 acres. It was the biggest fire in the state of Washington since the U-Belt fire in 1906. A huge disaster. We lost over 300 homes. Again, in 2015 here, last summer, we had another disastrous fire season and another 150 plus homes.
I evacuated. I was still hoping that the fire would not burn my house. But one night, the night of the 17th of July, I was sound asleep in my cabin, little cabin, and I hear a rig. And I woke up, what's going on? It was my neighbor, and they told me, your house is gone. I didn't have any money to build another one, so I agreed with God what God gave me, and I said, just live in a 10-foot by 10-foot cabin, enough to have a bed and a table. And I lived there for about 6 months after the fire, losing all hope to have ever a house in my life. If I qualify, like if I don't have fire insurance, a low income, the MDS could build a house for me. I couldn't believe it. I cried with joy. And I didn't believe it until they started building.
Mennonite Disaster Services has been a huge part of the recovery of this area. They were absolutely wonderful. They came in and did cleanup and work and then became very strong partners. EMCOR tends to be the funders. However, we kept hearing about how Mennonite Disaster Service are builders.
Everybody works, they know what they're doing, and everybody has different jobs, you know, and they all work good together.
My name is John Swatsky. I'm from Abbotsford, British Columbia. Right now we're up just west of Brewster doing the foundation work for one of our clients.
I got tired of living in Seattle, so when I found this place, why, this is what we decided to build and make this our final home, you know, but that wasn't to be.
The plan, finish off this foundation, get the next site formed up, and then we'll move back to our first site to finish the framing there, get the windows and doors in, get the trusses and roof on.
My name is Bob Smith. I'm here from Corvallis, Oregon. I've come with these guys 4 or 5 different times. We have a great time when we're here. It's kind of like going to camp. The first day you get here and you don't know anybody and it's kind of scary. And the second day you see you're getting something done and by Friday you don't want to go home.
When the Mennonite came, started building the housing, everything started to become a reality. And I realized this is a true story. Many beautiful roots. It's a promise. Promise for the future. This house was built by sacred, loving hands. For me, it's a sanctuary. I'd like to thank my dear and lifelong friends, the Mennonite, the Amish community, the United Methodist Church, Red Cross, the Carlton Complex Long-Term Recovery Group. Very beautiful people. I call them the angels.
This is the best. Meeting the homeowners, their families, seeing what this means to them is an incredible feeling. Ultimately, it's a great bond, and we have a chance to show people that we really care about them. And that's part of the reason that we do that is because we feel that that's what God is asking us to do, is to help each other.
It's just a privilege to be here, and we gain good friendships, and we see how God works in our lives as well.
If it hadn't have been for disaster service, I would have sold out. Count my losses and just go. We appreciate all the guys, and they're so friendly, and to come in here and do all the work.
It has been an honor and a privilege to get to see that and be part of that throughout this process.
Thank you.
my love to them sent, and forever I remember them forever, and I love them forever.
Just a question. How many of you would support taking on the project of helping with the trailer? Could I see hands? Quite a few. We have enough to start a fund, and I will be bringing this up with the unit for Oregon to get them on board, but I would like to start this project. I don't know where it'll take us, but it's worth a try. Next video, Joe.
Thank God for all things, because I tell you, without him, we couldn't do anything. He's the one who brought y'all over here. So I give him the glory.
Neighbors, friends that I can meet and be a part of.
Building those relationships and that sense of community, so it's much more than just swinging a hammer and painting some trim.
Saskatchewan to New York, student and youth service was strong throughout 2015. In February, a Bluffton University group led by Louise and Lawrence Matthews continued MDS's work on multiple homes in Far Rockaway.
I'd worked with MDS in Detroit with flood cleanup in the basements, and I thought this would be a really great opportunity to bring other students out here.
An opportunity that I looked forward to, and I love helping others, and why not get away from Bluffton for a little while?
It's been great to build the relationships, bonding with each other while we're doing work.
Knowing that I'm making a difference in somebody else's life, and I feel like they're making a difference in mine as well.
Come in and serve!
In March, Spring Breakers Nikki and Precious joined MDS volunteers in Pilger, Nebraska to rebuild homes lost to the June 2014 tornadoes.
You know, it's different for everyone. Spring break's not always about getting the time to relax after finals.
I really like helping people in any way I can. Having this experience is really cool because I've never been involved with like building a house.
It's nice to spend a vacation where you dedicate yourself to others instead of yourself.
First year disaster management program students completed their summer field experience at the Crisfield, Maryland project. Seven students from Heston College and one from Canadian Mennonite University worked at the project for 8 weeks.
I participated in the disaster management program through Heston 5 years ago, and that's what got me started working with MDS. And I was asked to come back as a student life coordinator for the current group of students.
What I like about MDS is their what they are doing for the homeowners and how we are representing the hands and feet of Jesus.
Jesus gave a life of service as an example to us, and how do we exemplify that in our own lives and give back and show love to others, and this is just one way that that can happen.
Conference Assembly in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, songs and prayers rang through the buildings, while outside, people could hear the ringing of hammers. Assembly attendees had the opportunity to volunteer time to help frame two homes through MDS's Partnership Home Program.
Sometimes all you have want to do is give up, but there are other people all around the world that won't let you
and that will try to give you hope.
We've heard of MDS for years, and we like to bless others just as God has blessed us.
I always think that MDS is doing a wonderful job, so I feel that I should contribute as well.
It's an opportunity for the church to minister this way to the people who are in need.
It was the start of somebody's home.
I built a house. I'm part of it.
The two framed houses were then delivered to families who had lost their homes to Superstorm Sandy and the 2014 Pilgrim tornadoes.
I'm Savannah Stott, and this is my husband Josh, and we are in Wayne, Nebraska at our new home.
Been an 8-month process. They've been in and out and back and forth. And lots of good hands, lots of good people. It's been a good experience.
I'm excited.
And this is my husband, John, and we're from Elmer, Ontario. We are in Crisfield, Maryland, helping finish this house up. Hopefully we get it done this week.
The Collins family is who we're working for.
They've been working like little beavers. Everybody gets down and they go, 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 go. They don't slow up. They're getting it done. That's good.
I got to talk to Mrs. Collins, and she was so excited to move in here. She was telling me that this is the best looking house in the area.
From Alberta to the Gulf Coast states and New York, MDS celebrated project closing and dedication. On Thursday, April 2nd, in Far Rockaway, New York, homeowners, MDS volunteers, and partner groups from the community sang praises and gave thanks to God for the hundreds of volunteers who came through their community over the past 3 years, rebuilding homes after Superstorm Sandy. As MDS wrapped up the last few homes of the 155 projects completed in High River, Alberta, the town gathered to celebrate the community's return. The mayor and local partner, the Canadian Red Cross, were among the many thanking MDS for their help rebuilding.
We can't do it without organizations like Mennonite Disaster Services. You need the volunteers and you need the manpower, you need the expertise to help people that don't have the resources to do it on their own.
The Canadian Red Cross has really had a fantastic experience working alongside of Mennonite Disaster Services, from our volunteers on the ground to leadership in the community and coordinating and collaborating together. It's really been a positive experience.
In late August, on the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, MDS invited former disaster response coordinators Jerry and Doreen Clausen to tour the Gulf Coast states and visit with some old friends who lost their homes to the storm.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Fancy meeting you here.
From West Virginia to South Carolina and Michigan, MDS responded swiftly to floods and continued muckouts and cleanups. On August 11, 2014, more than 5 inches of rain fell in Detroit, Michigan, and the three surrounding counties. The rain came so quickly that it caused severe flooding along roads and in the basements of tens of thousands of homes in Detroit. The Detroit flood was the largest FEMA response in 2014, yet few have heard of the disaster.
After the flood, everything got destroyed. I came home 2 days after, and all the water was gone. But I could smell it.
We reached out to one of the Mennonites that are here and said, we're seeing an unusually high number of muckout leads. We knew there would be some, but we didn't know how many. And he said, give me an address and I'll go look at the house. And so within days, they were able to get over to assess the house and then to get a team in and start cleaning it out. And that's why we're here today.
There's a lot of people that are here. Southern Baptists are here.
The Methodists are here. All hands are here. Salvation Army is helping to provide food. The Red Cross is here.
We are here, Mennonite Disaster Service.
So it's really a group effort.
All the debris needs to be bagged or shoveled into a bag and hauled out to the curb.
There's a a lot of need here, and even before the flood, there were a lot of people that were struggling, and so the flood just made that even more difficult.
It's a beautiful day, and I thank y'all, every one of you, for all that you've done. Mennonite Disaster Service. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
MDS volunteers mucked out basements in Lincoln County, West Virginia after the spring and summer floods.
My name is Wendy Beaver, the Assistant Fire Chief at Duval Volunteer Fire Department in Griffithsville, West Virginia. We have several homes around us that have severe damage, and a lot of people are just very depressed and feel like they've lost everything, don't know where to turn, what to do.
This house was pouring out. It was mean. I had never seen water as high as it was this time.
Ms. McClure is, she's recently a widow, and we wanted to make sure that she was taken care of. So having you guys here gave us the ability to get a smile on her face and kind of bring some joy back in her life.
West Virginia in the last 2 years has been a continuous project with the derecho and Hurricane Sandy and now this repeated flooding.
To see the work that everyone is able to do is just awesome. And to watch everybody come together and do it for a community that's not even yours is great. So, thank you.
In early October, historic rains fell in an area of South Carolina stretching from Greenville to the coast, breaking dams, washing out roads, and flooding many thousands of homes. The affected area was estimated to be 150 miles by 60 miles.
I came down and water was coming through both doors, just gushing through both doors. Before we know it, the water was at our knees. Get out in the front, step out on the porch, and come down here in the ground, the water was at over my chest. It was just devastating. God sent these people.
After the success of the 2014 West Virginia bridge build, MDS returned to begin a series of driveway bridges in Lincoln County that were washed away by the April floods. With coordination from local partners, West Virginia VOAD, and designs from JZ Engineering, MDS volunteers erected the first bridge for the Plumleys.
I must say I'm delighted to be a part of this story. When I first heard about it, it caught my interest and I didn't know where the journey would go, but today, seeing that first bridge done, it's pretty cool. Just really delightful.
I'm gonna have me a red ribbon to put on there. That's the best Christmas gift we could get.
Put it on each end.
This project is definitely a great example of the whole community.
We love working with MDS. These are super rewarding projects. You get to take your skills and put them to work and make something happen that really makes a difference in people's lives.
I look forward to seeing what the new year will bring and how we can continue this story onto other bridges and other folks as beautiful as the Plumleys. Meet them, see them as my neighbors. My philosophy of life is that I should be out there caring for my neighbors, and this is how I try to demonstrate that. And if we can do that down into the future to other bridges, it'll be wonderful.
We have a few minutes. Anybody have any questions? I should also add that my friend Rich over here served in the Pateros, Washington in what month? He doesn't remember. But he can tell you about the Pateros, Washington service area. Any questions? Yes.
Where do you keep all that stuff that goes in the trailers, like you compressors and hammers and nails? How do you organize all that?
The process is very programmed, and so you go on the job site in the morning, you fold down the back end of the trailer, and you get your tools out. Both of these projects were trailers. The one in Vernonia, we took our stuff up of our own.
How'd you do that?
As Ward says, it's in the back of a pickup. Other questions, Pat?
I think that you know that if you saw the quilted wall hanging, every dedicated MBS home at its completion gets these. That is a project of Mennonite Women USA and maybe Canada as well. I don't, but I know Mennonite Women USA make these quilted hangings. We could do that as well.
I should emphasize that, you know, people tend to think that this is a male service, and this is not a male service. After Rich and I left Kamiai, Washington, the next volunteers that were scheduled to come the next week were two women from Ontario, Canada, to do sheetrock finishing. So,
can people take their own trailers to live in, motorhomes?
That's on that program.
I don't know about that. Do you know the program, Pat?
Just what I read.
MDS has usually one or two projects going on where it's an RV project where you bring your own trailer and stay in it rather than to be in bunk houses and rooms. But when I went down to Alabama in 2006 for 4 months, I took my trailer and lived in it. And we had like four or five people that had brought their own trailers to live in. And I might say that 1 week while we were working down there, this was for Katrina, we had 12 conservative Mennonite young girls come down in a van. And of course, most of them had grown up on farms, things like that, from the Pennsylvania area. And they were used to getting up at daybreak and working all day and not going to bed till it got dark. So they sometimes couldn't understand why we went to the job site after 8 o'clock in the morning and we were back to at 4 or 4:30 in the afternoon, because they were used to long days and lots of hard work. Also, we ran a youth program while I was down there for the summer months. We had youth groups from different churches coming in for a week. And we had many young people, girls especially, that said, well, we don't have any skills. We can maybe sweep the floors or we can maybe paint. But we guaranteed all of them that by Friday, when they were getting ready to go home Friday afternoon, that they would have a skill. And we taught girls how to run skill saws, cut boards, and just in case it was cut too short, we saved that board for some place where we needed a shorter one, and we'd get another board out, and we'd train them on how to measure and how to cut.
There are a lot of similarities between MDS and Habitat for Humanity, and Rich has worked, Dick has worked with Habitat for Humanity. One thing I want to emphasize is MDS would not be successful without cooks. This lady, a retired school teacher from Philadelphia, flew out just to cook, buying all of her ingredients for her meals from the local market. MDS has a cookbook that's put out that gives recipes for up to 20 people. And she did a marvelous job feeding a bunch of us for those 5 days. Any other questions? Thank you very, very much for your attention. I would like to pursue this project of sponsoring or helping to sponsor a trailer for the Oregon unit. I think it's something that we do need, and we'll try to figure out how to do that. Thank you.